Hello and welcome to The Dirt, NFCA podcast presented by Netting Professionals. We are thrilled to bring you weekly podcasts covering a wide variety of topics from industry leaders. You can listen to all our past episodes through Apple iTunes or anywhere you listen to podcasts. We are glad you are joining us today. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Dirt, NFCA podcast presented by Netting Professionals. We are here to talk parenting and coaching. We have a great group of women with us. We have three Power Five head coaches who all have somewhat small children, and we're going to get into the difficulties and really the rewards that that can bring in a lot of different capacities. So welcome, ladies, very much. I'll just introduce you all individually, and you can tell a little bit about yourself and your background. Let's just go in the order of my screen here. So Boo, why don't you introduce yourself to everyone, who you are, where you coach, and a little bit about your family.
Hi, I'm Boo De Oliveira. I am the head coach at Purdue University in the Big Ten and West Lafayette, Indiana. I am married to Emerson, and we have two children, Mila, who is 5 years old in pre-K, and Nico, who is 1 year old in daycare.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And Jennifer, let's have you go next.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Patrick Swift. I'm the head softball coach at NC State, and I have three little girls. They're 6, 8, and 10, but they were born 2012, 2013, 2015. So in a sense, three girls in 4 years. And my husband actually also is on staff as my assistant. So a lot of stuff going on in our world, but it's good stuff.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And Sammy.
My name is Sammy Ward. I'm the head softball coach at Texas Tech University. My husband is my associate head coach, Randy Ward. We have two daughters. Riley is 11. And Haley is 5.
Well, thank you all very much for joining us. I think the question I'd like to start with, and we get this one a lot, is, was there a moment that you thought, I cannot do this? I cannot be the professional I want to be and have the family? And if there was, how did you work through it? If there wasn't, what do you think provided you the confidence and just ability to think that you could do it all? For some of our parents out there that are thinking, oh no, this is going to be a struggle. Boo, you want to kick it off?
Sure. I don't think there was ever a moment that I thought I could not do it, but there have been many moments where I thought, wow, this is just a lot. As a player, I don't think I saw a ton of females that were head coaches that had children. So there wasn't a lot to look at going, wow, she's really doing it. You know, there were females having other jobs, having kids, but, in my scope, you know, as a college softball player, I didn't really see that visible. I will say watching the Notre Dame staff, as a player and also as a young coach, seeing those coaches have children, be moms, and somehow, you know, look calm on the surface. I always talk about, you know, moms are like ducks, you know, under the water, a duck's feet are going crazy and they're paddling and it's just pure chaos. But then on the surface, they look all smooth and chill. And I think just knowing that other people have done it and that we have a great support system in other working moms, whether they're softball players or not, definitely has helped me get through the tough times.
Thank you very much. Jennifer, how about you? Same question.
Yeah. So I was always one of the little girls that dreamed about, you know, getting married and having kids and loved kids, wanted to be a mom, hoped I had girls, didn't know what God had in store for me, but loved the fact that he gave me three girls. But from my sophomore year in college, I also knew that I wanted to be a college softball coach. And I played Division III, and I knew back then that I wanted to get to the highest level. I knew it would take a while and hard work and success. And so I had not just, you know, the goal of being a coach in college, but I had a goal to be somewhere that I had never been as a player either. So it was one of those things where I didn't really think about, you know, I can't do this or I can't do that. My personality kind of has always been, the more someone tells me no or that I can't, the more I just, all right, I'm going to tuck my tail between my legs and do it because I know I can. And so it was just one of those things where, you know, I met my husband at my first head coaching job. He was an assistant baseball coach. And we kind of said, whoever gets to Division I first, we'll figure it out from there. And That happened to be me. And then at that point, he made the switch from coaching baseball to coaching softball. He loved the game and it was faster. It was different. It was more controllable, different things like that. And around that same time, found out that I was pregnant with my first daughter. So there was a 10-month transition between when I had our first baby and he actually was able to come work with me. So for 10 months, I felt like kind of the show that 16 and Pregnant, where I was in my old room that was pink with all my dance trophies and all this stuff with my little baby and my mom and dad helping downstairs. So loved it. But at the same time, you know, it was one of those things where looking back, had it not been for the support in my parents, we literally lived right next door. I wouldn't have been able to do it. And we've just been blessed to have my parents and my in-laws all the time make it work. We do schedules 4, 5, 6 months out in advance, who's going to get them when in softball season. But it was never a case of, can we make this work? It was always, we're going to make this work. Let's figure out how.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Sammy, how about you? Same question.
A few things. I mean, very similar to these other two ladies. I think first off, I'll start with talking about my mom a little bit. In my opinion, she was kind of a pioneer during the Title IX era. She played 4 sports in college, and she kind of just always had one of those personalities where if there's a barrier, I'm going to break through it. And so that was a great example for me in a lot of ways. So just having her as a role model and someone that I can bounce ideas off of all the time has been really helpful. Whenever I have or am in a hard time, I'll call her and she'll say, Sammy, you know, it's hard, but you can do hard things. And so that's kind of a mantra that I use for myself and we use for the team sometimes when they're dealing with hard things that they can't control. But when I was at my last school, we were hosting the University of Oklahoma and we didn't have lights on our field. So we had kind of like a later type day game. And my youngest was, I don't know, under a year old, and she was in the children's center on campus. And I actually had to leave in the middle of the game to actually had our athletic trainer on the cart, drive me over to the children's center, grab my daughter, put her in a front carrier, bring her back to the game. And I coached, you know, the rest of the game from the dugout. At the end of the game, we're giving high fives, you know, to Oklahoma and Patty Gasso. She said, is that your daughter? And I said, yes. And she said, keep coaching no matter how hard it gets. It's so important that our daughters see us in this position and that our players see us in this position. And she didn't have to take the time out to talk to me. I mean, she is the queen of our sport, you know, and she didn't have to take that time. And she took that time. And that's something that really helped me at that moment, because it is hard, it's challenging, but like I said, we can do hard things. And then I think thirdly, I'm really fortunate with my husband. My other assistant, she has 7 kids. So anytime I think it's hard, it's way harder for her. But he takes a huge amount of the responsibility when it comes to things that he can, so we can be moms. And so we can do both. And so we're really, really lucky, because he wants us to be able to do both and he's supporting us both in doing both. And so I think it takes a whole village to make it work. And, you know, we're also grateful here at Texas Tech to have a great administration that supports us. I mean, my senior women administrator is Brandy Stewart. She's a mom as well. She gets it. And she's got to do both. And so she's supporting me in doing both as well. So I think it takes a village.
No doubt. And some of you have a village close and some of you don't. What are some of the ways that you have cultivated resources that aren't blood relatives? So when you think about even the times, you know, Jennifer, when you haven't had family that can help or others, how do you do that without feeling like you're imposing or, you know, really putting someone out? Sammy, I'm going to start with you, if you don't mind, because I think you've had to deal with that a little bit and then move to Texas Tech, and then we'll just run back around the horn.
I would go as far to say that I'm the worst at that. I won't trust anyone with my kids. I don't know, just because that's the only thing we really have. So we have to piecemeal it. So, I mean, for example, this year we'll be on the road every weekend of February. So my mother is has, you know, agreed to come out. She's going to fly out and she's going to stay the month of February. And then we'll be home for a little while so we can take care of it. And then we just kind of piece it together. I know like these other two ladies do, but it's challenging. I think, you know, my other assistant, her husband helps us out quite a bit as well. When we have conflicts where kids need to be picked up from school and we have practice our games, he helps us out with that as well. He always jokes because, like I said, they have several kids as well. And so he calls himself Miss Frizzle sometimes because he's got this big old Suburban with all of his, all of our kids in there. But it's challenging. And I mean, I'm sure just like the other two ladies are going to say, we piece it together and it's not perfect. It's not like ironclad, but we make it work.
A message from our official sponsor, Netting Professionals, improving programs one facility at a time. Netting Professionals specializes in the design, fabrication, and installation of custom netting for backstops, batting cages, dugouts, BP screens, and ball carts. They also design and install digital graphic wall padding, windscreen, dugout benches, and more. Contact them today at 844-620-2707 or visit nettingpros.com. Follow at Netting Pros on social media for their latest projects. Now, back to the podcast.
Jennifer, how about you? Anything that you had to do or found that was helpful?
Yeah, I'm a lot like Sammy in the fact that I don't know that my kids have ever stayed overnight with anyone other than family. Luckily, I've been able to pull that off. Again, I don't exactly know how, other than the fact that they wanted to help so that we could be successful. But when we moved, I moved from St. Francis University in Pennsylvania, living right next door to my parents, and all three of my kids were born there, and we were there until my oldest, so 7 years. And then we up and left them, and we up and, you know, moved 500 miles away to North Carolina. And, you know, my in-laws are an hour and a half away, but that's still, you know, if it's an emergency, that's a long time. You know, so I was blessed that when we got here, one of the first things that we found was a childcare center that was also ran, the pastor and his wife ran that, as well as a church. And so went there, fell in love with them. They loved the kids, the atmosphere. And so that was one of the things that first year I was here in Raleigh, I don't know how many times I told them or emailed them or text them. Like, I really don't know what we would have done without finding you guys, because prior to then, no one had ever even watched my kids, like, you know, for a minute other than someone that had been family. So that whole thing for me, for several weeks and months was very hard. And then, you know, this is my fourth year here in Raleigh. Since then, you know, the kids make friends, we make friends, you know, that have kids similar ages, and had a great neighborhood we just moved from, but made great friends, and knew that now that my kids are older, you know, hey, you know, do you mind if she can come over for a couple hours? Cause we have to do this, or this came up. But I think the hardest part is kind of the emergencies, is when you don't have things in line and life throws you the curveball. Hey, your kid wakes up in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. and you have a 11 o'clock tournament game and you're hosting a tournament. Or, you know, that to me, the uncontrollables, the unpredictables, even though we talk about them ahead of time, we have A, B, C, D plan for the what if. When it happens, that's really when I get pulled at my heartstrings, because, you know, daddies are awesome, but when kids are sick, most of the time they want their mommy. So those are the days that are extremely hard for me. You know, but again, that whole, it takes a village, you just have to find that. And if you're not blessed to have, you know, family close to you, you know, they don't have to be in your blood to be family. You just got to find that network and that love, that loves your kids, and you can make it work.
Absolutely. And speaking of uncontrollables, you know, Boo, your second snow day in a row, right? You've got both kids and you're trying to play in a week, and, you know, all the things. So how about you when you're looking at the things of, I need this and I got to do this, and, oh, I'm not really sure who to call.
Yeah, I agree with Jennifer, the emergencies and the unplanned, the snow days, or the, hey, your indoor practice time got changed and now you're at nighttime, but your babysitter can't come to the nighttime and maybe your partner's working. I 100% agree. The village is really important. My husband does a great job of supporting me, and, you know, we plan everything out hand in hand, his work schedule, my work schedule. this is actually the closest I've been to my family coaching, and I'm still close to 4 hours away from them. I'm from five kids. Luckily, my oldest sister has helped out quite a bit. I just kind of rotate who travels, whether it's my husband or my oldest sister, Chrissy. Last year, you know, luckily, but obviously not luckily, school was virtual for some of my nieces. So two of my nieces, Jordan and EJ, were able to come on the road with me a little bit too. My pop's coming on some. I was actually just asking the ladies before we started, hey, are your kids traveling this year? And that I would say the difference probably with my kids and their kids, or mine, are not in true school yet, you know, daycare and preschool, which obviously things will change once they're in school. But I do think just having those people that you can rely on. Our associate head coach, Dorian Shaw, is actually Nico's godmother. So just to kind of give you an idea of how our staff has really become family, I just think the hardest part is maybe not so much the planning, but asking. We always feel that guilt of like, oh, I don't want to put my kids on someone else, or, oh, I don't want to inconvenience them. And the reality is that there are a lot of people that are willing to help you. And it may not always be family. And like Jennifer and Sammy said, you know, sometimes it's scary or awkward leaving your kids with people that are not family, but that's where you grow your family, you know, your friends that become family. And there are a lot of people that want females to be successful as head coaches or assistant coaches or any type of working mom. And I think just having those people that encourage you to get that, you know, to make that happen is important. I have zero idea. My mom, I'm from five kids. Like I said, I'm the youngest. I have no idea how both my parents were full-time working parents and coached travel ball and ran after us. And, you know, my kids are just at the age now, Mila is at the age where she's playing soccer and basketball and softball. And thank God for Monday night sports when it's an off day from practice, because you can go do Monday night sports. And like, this kid's going to play basketball her entire life because every Monday night is basketball. But trying to, you know, figure out those other things, not just the travel and season, but making sure that your kids are getting the right experience for their life and that softball is not their whole life, I think is another challenge that not just coaches, but all working moms and dads face.
The kid experience piece, I love that you brought that up, because I think that is so cool. You know, when we had our two, I was still coaching, and one of the biggest benefits was seeing the way the team interacted, you know, with the kids. And you mentioned this earlier too, Sammy, with Patty Gasso and what she said to you, but what do you guys absolutely love about having a team around your family? What do you love about that interaction? What is the benefit for your children? What's the benefit for your student athletes? And why do you think it's important? And Sammy, I'll start with you because you already kind of alluded to it a little bit. But for you, you know, what gives you the warm fuzzies about it?
Well, I mean, honestly, everything. I think it's really special for our teams to see us do both. And they, you know, at least for my team, I'm sure it's the same for Jennifer and Boo, but I, you know, my team sees, you know, my daughters as their little sisters. And I think that's so cool. I mean, they're always like, oh, can I play with them? Can I do this? And I think that's really neat too. So it's an extended family, which is really special. And I think that's what all of us want within our programs and the experience we want for everyone to have that plays for us and, you know, is in our program. So I think that's important. And then from our kids' perspective, I think it's so cool that they get to have all these great role models to look up to. They get to, you know, watch our players and learn how to work hard, learn how, I don't know, just be an example. And so they can strive to be like them one day, or, you know, as I always say, more so, you know, I don't want anyone to be like me. I want them to be better than me. I don't want it. My kids to be like anyone else. I want them to be the best they can be. So I just think it's a really special environment, and it can be a really, really cool environment for everyone involved. And I think it's special for everyone.
For sure. Boo, same question to you. And then we'll come to you, Jennifer.
You know, part of our recruiting spiel when we talk to recruits is, if you don't like being around kids, this isn't the school for you. And I don't say that negatively. I say that just to be honest, that one of our main core values of our team is family, not just my family, but our team's family, our staff's family. And we are a family all together. I think it's really neat for my kids to get to see strong females be role models for them. You know, sometimes I'm doing Mila's hair for school and she's like, oh, I want Brenna hair, or I want this kind of hair. And that's how she relates things to life, is that's how, you know, this person on the team did it. This is their windup. This is, you know, everything with them is just, these are superheroes. Like, these athletes to our kids are female superheroes that can do no wrong, you know? And it's really neat on the flip side to see some of your athletes, especially ones that maybe are not, you know, huggers or warm, fuzzy people, just become warm, fuzzy, because who is not going to be nice to a little kid that's running around, you know, trying to play catch with them, or, you know, giving them a high five. I also think it's great for perspective for everybody. You know, you get back on the bus, and let's say it's after a game and maybe your kids are on the bus with you and you had a tough loss, and you have to really flip that switch quick. So, you know, you can be mad about it, get upset, whatever, have your team talk, but then you got to go back into being mom mode, and you got to get ready for your next game also. But for that window, you have to be mom, and your kids don't care if you won, if you lost, they don't care, you know, outside of our softball bubble. There's this whole world that exists that doesn't revolve around wins and losses. And I think sometimes we lose that perspective in sport. So I do think that having kids around, while sometimes might be a lot when you're getting back at 3 a.m. and you're changing car seats from the bus to your car, or you're trying to, you know, sneak in your house without waking your kids up, or leave in the morning without waking them up, or the early morning drop-offs, whatever. I think that perspective of like, hey, like, this is real life. We only get one shot at it. And our job as a coach is to win, but winning in life is, you know, showing our kids, our sons, our daughters, what strong role models look like, showing our team that if you want to have a family, you can have it. If you want to have a marriage, you can have it, that it is hard work. It's not easy. It's not what social media puts out there, where it's all sunshine and rainbows and, you know, perfect pictures. And it's just not, you know, I look at some of these posts that are up and I'm like, I can't even get my kids to sit still and look at the camera, and they've got matching outfits and everything else. You know, I have 18 alarms set on my phone to remind me to order a smash cake for a first birthday, and, you know, things like that, where you're like, this is just real life, and it's chaos, but it's beautiful chaos. And I think that once coaches, male or female, accept that, if they decide to have children or decide to not have children or have a marriage, whatever, that coaching is just beautiful chaos with kids or without kids, and finding what your beautiful chaos looks like is the key to staying in this game.
Excellent. So many places to go, but Jennifer, I want to get your take. What are your favorite things that being around the team provides to your family?
Well, I think just kind of going back to when I first started coaching, before I had my first daughter, I got into coaching, for the selfish reasons of, I love to win. I love to win. I wanted to prove that, hey, like, we could develop talent, we can win, like, we can do A, B, C, D. And it was a lot of selfish. It was about me. And I think that, you know, when you're young and you're getting into the business, like, a lot of people want to go in coaching because they're like, yeah, I love to play, I'm good at this, and I want to pass it on. And then when I had my daughter after 7 years in coaching, ironically, it was about the time where we started to work on kind of like on the field producing, hitting home runs, and that home run mindset that we're kind of known for developed. But now it's 10% of what the home run mindset means. And what I mean by that is, you know, my why every day for the first 7 years was about me. And then for the last 11 years, it's been about my kids at home, and been about my kids on my team. And, you know, that home run mindset means, like, I want my kids at home and my big kids at work to know and see that we can shatter ceilings, that you don't have to listen to somebody that says, you can't do this. You can't be a coach. You can't be a mom. You have to find this to make it work, or there's this condition and that condition to make it work. And, you know, while I will be honest, I'm very much some that my kids are not around the office a ton, because I take very personal the fact that I want my kids at work to feel 100% that I'm their mom there, and I have all my attention to them. And conversely, you know, when I'm at home, I do my best, which is, again, another reason it's great having my husband as an assistant. For a couple hours, I just kind of turn my phone off and I'm mommy time for my kids at home. You know, if I didn't have my husband to help, I wouldn't be able to do that. And so, you know, that being said, I love when my kids are around the team. My kids ask here, you know, hey, when are your kids coming around? And they love it. And it's goes back and forth. But like I said, the last 11 years, my why has been to be that role model for my three kids and every kid that has ever played for me, to show them you can be at the highest of your job and the highest level and be a head coach, be a CEO, be a CFO, you know, have a spouse, have a family if you so choose, and you can do it and do it really well. And so it's amazing what having kids will do to you. It changes the perspective. And now it's all about my little kids and my big kids at work. And how can I show them that they can be anything and do anything that they want?
Can I jump back in for a second?
Yeah, Sammy, go for it.
So that reminded me. So when I first had my oldest daughter, like she was weeks old or something like that. And I was interviewed and they asked, you know, what's changed since you've been a mom, and nothing had changed at that point. And so I probably answered that question too arrogantly because nothing had changed for me at that point in the sense of how I coach my team. But now that I have my oldest daughter and she's 11 and I'm watching her play and compete, my whole coaching philosophy has changed, to be really honest. And it's really made me look at what my husband and I do and the environment we create for our student athletes. And it's really kind of a gut check, like what I want to play for me, what I want my daughter to play for me. And honestly, it's totally changed our coaching philosophy. I mean, we used to be a lot more into mechanics and doing things right and making things look pretty. And now it's like, man, go compete, go play free. Like, because that's the environment that I want my daughter to play in. And then it reminded me when Boo was talking about having all these role models for our daughters and our kids. And my oldest daughter, she's very much self-taught in softball. We just let her play. And so she pitches and she's got this little wind up and everyone's like, did you teach her that? And I'm like, no, I didn't tell her anything. And people will ask her like, where'd you learn that? She's like, well, it's a combination of Hannah and Sam, and she's made it up herself. But I think that's the greatest thing ever. Like that's old school. That's the way we all learn to play. And so, I mean, I think it's special and it's able to come full circle right now.
Oh, that's super cool. And, you know, we've talked to a lot of parents, at least I have, and I know several people have asked over the last year or so, you know, do your kids play travel ball? The parents that, you know, have kids that are junior high age and some of those things, as opposed to learning and practicing. And I think it's I could do a whole podcast on that, like the coach perspective of parenting and how it changes. But I think it's awesome that they can go out and play and do those things and emulate, you know, and really try to develop who they are. And at the same time, you're continuing to develop who you are as a coach. You're talking about your philosophies changing. And one way that I'm sure that you need to do that is having time for yourself, you know, and I'm hearing all of you talk about, we'll do this and then we do this and the smash cake. And then, so when is me time? Like when what fills your cup? Is it playing with the kids? You know, is that what does it for you? But for coaches out there that are going, I just want 5 minutes of peace. I mean, Boo, you've got like 48 hours straight, right now that you've had no me time. I retreated to the shower yesterday. I'm like, John, I'm taking a 45 minute shower. Don't let anybody come in here. I need some quiet. So, but what is it? What fills you up and allows you to be your best self? Jennifer, you want to start this one?
Yeah. So I think the older you get and the older, you know, your kids get, or if you get multiples, especially, you realize that you actually do need it. It's not just, you know, you hear it on a podcast or you read it somewhere that you have to have yourself time. You really do. This sounds kind of funny, but one of the things I would suggest is to live a little bit further from the school. I live about 30 minutes away, depending on traffic, only about 12 miles. But that's when, like in the mornings for the last couple of weeks, I've been listening to like books on tape and like different things like that, where that's kind of like my time. I get, you know, my husband and I also drive separate to work, and that is intentional as well, because, you know, you just need that time for you. And is that enough? No, but it's good to start your day because, you know, at 6:30, the kids get up, you get them ready, you get them breakfast, you get them out to school, and then you get ready. And then you kind of, you know, have that drive to work to decompress, to think about what you want to do that day and focus on your 20 big kids. And then you got that 30 minutes after work where, okay, you kind of decompress the first half about what went well, what can I do better tomorrow? You know, what do we need to prepare? And then the last 15 minutes, 10 minutes or so is like, okay, like, what are we going to do tonight with family? What are we going to have for dinner? You know, homework and who has to get their Valentine's ready and who has to make a shirt for the 100th day of school, and all of those things. So, that was really intentional, you know, when we figured out where we were going to live. But, you know, I also think too, that you gotta have those times where, you know, your spouse or, you know, a neighbor or whoever, you know, will give you a couple hours to go get your hair done and you're not rushing. And the biggest thing is I like to think when you take your me time to do that or to go work out, try and not have anything scheduled up against that time on the back end. Because what I've found is, you know, like, let's say I have a haircut at 10 and practice at 12. Well, what am I thinking about the whole time during my haircut? Okay, I hope this gets done. I don't want to be late. I got to get the practice, blah, 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 that type of thing. So I will say scheduling me time, the when is important, or else you're not going to be able to enjoy it and be present as well.
Yes, I cannot say how much I agree with that moment and being able to actually enjoy the me time instead of if I go right now, I can get 27 minutes on the treadmill, you know, and then you're done and you really can't. Boo, how about you? What's me time look like for you?
I would love to say that I have that figured out and that I'm as organized as Jennifer is. I'm definitely not. I drive my kids to school. They actually go to Purdue school on campus. There's a daycare preschool in one. And sometimes I find myself, you know, jamming to Frozen in the car or the yellow school bus or some CD. And I'm like, this is still in my car. I have 7 minutes till I get to work. What am I doing? But I think just, you know, like Jennifer said, like, go get your hair highlighted, go get your hair cut. The older I get, like, I enjoy grocery shopping by myself for a few minutes with a list, you know, being able to cross things off, making sure that I don't have to put my groceries around the kids in the cart if I'm able to go at myself. It sounds silly, you know, and I sound like a total, you know, 40-year-old mom, but that's reality. Like, I think whatever your me time is, whether it's, hey, you do a book on tape or, hey, you have a show that on you watch once a week on Hulu and you might be six seasons behind, but that's what you watch for 30 minutes or just relaxing. I like cooking. So I find myself doing a lot of cooking when I can. There's not a whole lot of me time right now with having a one-year-old, but honestly, I just think that it is important. I haven't figured out the balance completely yet. I'll let you know when I figure that out, but whatever fills your cup, whether it is, you know, time by yourself, having time to pray, having time to go to church, having time to take a nap, whatever you need for, even if it's 15 minutes, just turning that phone off, turning it over, putting it in a basket by the front door, doing whatever, because sometimes your me time may not be you time. It may not be by yourself. The me time that you need may be the time with your family without recruits texting you or without having to put out fires on your team with something happened on campus or this happened for tomorrow with the team. We have to change it. Like, I really think that we are, as coaches, unfortunately, very hooked to our phones. And I think our children see that. And, you know, we wonder why this generation is so technology dependent and always on an iPad, always on a phone, always on a video game. It's because they see their parents. They see us doing that. They see us during our me time, checking a phone and going, oh, did I get an email? Did that come through? Like, I think just having the mindset of, yes, I am the head coach. Yes, a lot of things are on my shoulders, but the world will go on if I am away from my phone for 30 minutes. And I think with COVID, that has really changed probably a lot of people's perspective, because a lot of us went from going into the office every day from maybe working at home and probably being not stay-at-home moms, but working moms at home, doing virtual school, taking care of kids while trying to do practice, doing virtual meetings. And I think that having that level of vulnerability that your team sees, you know, you're on a Zoom with your team and your kids throwing food from their high chair at you, or, oh, I'm on this Zoom and I had it planned perfectly. And my spouse was going to watch the kid for this 1 hour, but all the baby wants is mom. And you're like, you know what, like, this is real life. And this is what it looks like. And again, it just goes back to that beautiful chaos of, like, this is real life. Show your team that it's okay, that it's okay to be messy sometimes. It's how you handle it. And that, like, I asked my sister before this podcast, I said, what am I supposed to say? It's really hard. Yes, it's really hard. She's like, just tell him to keep swimming. I'm like, yeah, just keep swimming. Like, put your life raft on, put your goggles on, get your snorkel, get your flippers, call the lifeguard, and just keep swimming every single day.
Yes to all of that. And I want to know why you're not jamming out to Encanto, I think is my real question. Cause I think that is the only thing.
We don't talk about Bruno. That's why, Joanna.
That's the only thing. The only thing that's been on in my house for, I don't even know how many, since like New Year's. So yeah, we do a lot of surface pressure and then you laugh because you really hope that they understand what that means. Like, that's a fantastic song. Like, that is life. Right. And they don't, they just do the drip, drip, drip and call it good. But Sammy, how about you? What are you doing to make sure you get your me time?
Did you want to say something first, Jennifer?
No, I was just going to make a little joke, as in all the Alexas in my house were about to get thrown out the window the 14th time that I heard Encanto in a row, but we saved them. But let me tell you, they know how to do the announcement. They know how to play it on all the speakers. Love the song, but it's a little overplayed in our world.
Well, beware if you guys rent Sing 2 on Disney Plus or whatever right now. I think my family watched it 14 times yesterday during the snow day.
Oh, no doubt. And mine reenacts the Johnny Planet. Like, she'll sit and play the piano and then like do this and she gets mad. She can't break dance. And like, girl, you don't have a chance. Like, you have no dancing genes. Like, you just need to get that now. But yeah, if you need to ask your device, and I'm not going to say her name because mine will start going off. But, you know, do we talk about Bruno? It's kind of funny. It comes back and it's like, shh, we don't talk about Bruno. It's really funny. But all right, Sammy.
I feel like the cool thing is we laugh about this. But 30 years from now, these are the memories that we're going to have. Yeah. And we're going to have them as parents. We're going to have them as, yes, before camp, I heard Encanto 1400 times. And on the way to camp, when I drop my kids off, I think those are the cool things that, again, we make light of them now, but we wouldn't change it for the world.
Very true. Very true. Sammy, how about your me time? Are you getting any?
You know, I don't think this is another one of my strong suits either, but I have a lot of self-imposed mom guilt, and so I make sure that when I take my me time, it's when my kids are at school, to be really honest. So I'll drop them off at school in the morning, and then I'll have like an hour in the office by myself before anyone else gets there, and that's really nice. And I can get a lot of work done and just kind of read or do what I want to do. Then I'll also get my nails done. That's my me time, but I make sure to do that during the school day too. I just want to make sure that my kids don't ever think that I picked my profession over them. So I want to be there for them when I can be there for them. And then I want to have them with me on this journey when I can have them with me on this journey. I really believe that we all can do both, and that might look different for all of us, but those are the things that kind of eat me up. I don't ever want them to think they were a second choice. They're always my first choice. So when I have time with them, I want to make sure that I'm as present as possible.
Yeah. You know, actually I have two questions left, and the mom guilt is one of them. And so let's just dive into that one because it is so real, and it's multifaceted, at least for me. It's, you know, guilt when you maybe aren't supporting your partner, your spouse as much as you think you should be, or guilt when you're with your team and not your family, or vice versa. You're with your family and not your team. You know, recruiting has gotten better, but it's still different. And then now it's with COVID, it maybe even has gotten worse. So, you know, what are some things for you that trigger your guilt, and how have you learned to work through it? Jennifer, let's have you start this one.
So, you know, I think this is something any working mom will have. I will say it is a lot easier kind of the day to day when, you know, you drop the kids off from school, you come to work, you do your thing, and then you go pick them up. Where I find it the most is when we leave for away trips and leave for recruiting. As our kids are getting older, they're starting to get into more things. And this year was the first year my oldest daughter made dance competition. And wouldn't you know, her first two and only competitions, obviously on the weekends, obviously we have games. And so, you know, that we knew the dates going into it, and having that conversation with her and, you know, getting her excited to do it, but knowing that I won't be able to be there. I mean, that since the day she made it, there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about that. You know, but it's just kind of one of those things where the trade-off is unbelievable, where, and that's how I have to bring myself back centered, because like we had talked about, they have 20 role models they get to see whenever they want to see, you know, and we can have that. And, you know, they can go on trips to places that, you know, we would have never been able to go if I didn't have this job. And, you know, there are a lot of things that we can't do if we have a game or if we're recruiting, but I think I try and focus more on the things we can do and we get to do. Remind myself of, you know, hey, like Brinley's going with us to Florida this weekend, you know, like that's a great thing. And even though I still have the dance competition in the back of my head, right? So I just think it's just like anything else in life is, you know, anxiety is worrying about things that happen in the future. And, you know, I really try to do my best when those thoughts come up and be like, you know, I can't control that right now, but right now I can be the best mom I can be, you know, to my big kids at work and my little girls at home, and make sure that a couple of days before I'm spending and giving a lot more extra love. You know, not that I don't do that day to day, but you know, I just try and spend a little bit more extra time, maybe some special one-on-one time, you know, so that when we do go or I do leave, they're at least loved up a little bit more and can get through a little bit easier.
Thank you very much. Boo, how about you? What are some things you feel when it comes to the guilt side and how do you work through it?
I would say last season was probably one of the seasons I felt the most mom guilt. I had Nico right at the end of December, and then we started practice about 2 weeks later. And, you know, there's always that question of like, do you take maternity leave? Do you not take maternity leave? You're the head coach. What's your AD going to think? What's your assistants going to think? What are your team going to think? Well, what's your kid going to think too? So I think last season in general, and even starting this job, I moved to Purdue when Mila was almost a month old. So I've had two babies kind of right at the start of big things. I think you just have to, you know, be present where your feet are. My husband's always like, you can't be amazing at every single thing. Just be as great as you can be in that moment. And I always, you know, want to roll my eyes and say like, well, I want to be awesome. Like when I'm at work, I want to be head coach and in head coach mode and not worry that the daycare just texted and the hot water's out and you got to pick up your kids in the next 30 minutes. Or if I'm picking up my kids, I want to be the best mom and be present and go to their basketball game and then not worry that a top 10 recruit is calling me while I'm, you know, watching 5U basketball. You know, and again, like, I'm not trying to paint this picture of it being chaos, but it just is a little bit. And I think, you know, the guilt part, whether you're a coach or not a coach, you're always going to feel mom guilt. Like there's mom guilt, there's dad guilt. I've spent a lot of my kids' babyhood or whatever you want to call it with them in a baby carrier at practice or out recruiting, you know, and I think what people don't realize is that like, we can do anything. I feel like our superpower is being a mom. You know, sometimes people are like, oh, wow, you brought your kid recruiting or you brought your kid on the road. And I'm not saying it's for everybody. And it's not for me all the time either. But like you had a child, you had a baby, you can physically and mentally handle anything. You carried another human being. You were their landlord for 9 to 10 months, you know? And, I just think, you know, people are always like, oh, how are you going to recruit if you have your baby with you or you have your kid with you? And again, this isn't for everyone. And it's obviously not for every trip, but like moms multitask all the time. Head coaches multitask all the time. Okay, so you take your kid on one of your 5 recruiting trips and maybe you don't go to the 8 a.m. game or you're late to it, or you don't go to the 10 p.m. game. You're recruiting for 14 plus hours. You know, you take them on the road with you on road trips and maybe you watch game film once they're asleep instead of while they're awake. Again, just finding what your schedule is and what works for you, because it's not going to work for everybody, I think helps minimize that guilt. I think no matter what, you're always going to feel that mom guilt, but, you know, I don't think your kids keep a checks and balance of how much attention and love you're giving them. Like all they know is that you are doing your best to manage it. Some of the smallest things, like we just finished camp, I think 2 weeks ago. You know, a camp are like really, really long days. You're hosting camp from like 8 a.m. to 8 or 9 p.m. And all Mila could talk about for like 2 weeks prior to camp, I'm old enough to go. Like, I'm going to be a real camper this year. I get to go to camp. Are you going to be my coach? Who's going to be my coach? Are the girls going to be there? Who's working, you know? And those moments where it's like, wow, like this is such a cool experience for both our team and our kids. And they don't remember that, you know, obviously she's going to remember you weren't at her dance thing at some point. She'll get over it, right? At some point. And then she's going to be like, yeah. And when I won the national championship, when I was 15, you were there, you saw it, because it wasn't during a weekend, you know, hopefully it's on a weekday. But, you know, in all seriousness, I think the guilt is always going to be there, and just finding ways to think more about, like, what are these experiences that you're providing, the travel, the trips, the being around strong people, encouraging them going to college. Like, I think my kids, after COVID and doing so many virtual visits, when we drive around campus, Mila starts doing the beat to our virtual tour video. She's like, yeah, that's where this song comes on. I love that song. That's the song that's on the tour. Like, they are getting so much out of this experience that when they look back, they're going to be like, I can handle anything. My parents were D1 coaches in the Power Five. Like, I can do anything. I survived being one of, you know, I survived how many seasons of softball? I survived how many, you know, how many summers of recruiting? Like, I really just feel like our guilt, as much as it hurts now, is making our kids even stronger.
For sure. And I know we're running against a clock here a little bit, but I do think it's important. So Sammy, talk to me a little bit about the guilt and how you found ways to manage it. And you're not allowed to say I'm not the best at this, because we're not doing any self-depreciating anymore. All right. What are you thinking?
Well, even though I'm not the best at things, that doesn't mean I don't have room to grow. And so just see it that way. So fair this is enough. Just more opportunity for me. but honestly, with this, I think the biggest challenge is recruiting for us. When we were at our last school, we were in a location where we could literally bring the kids every weekend and just drive to the tournaments we needed to go to. But with the current location we're in now, we need to fly pretty much everywhere. So in the fall, it was challenging. My husband went out every single weekend. I went out a couple weekends. I hosted more on-campus visits, and he went out trying to find, you know, recruits and whatnot. So we balanced it that way a little bit in the summer. I think that's the biggest mom guilt I have, because, you know, I need to be out there and I need to be present. So actually, my husband and I, we have our daughter spend at least a month at my mom's in Oregon. So while that's challenging to be away from them that long, you know, I can fly in and out and things like that, but it's such a great opportunity for them to spend time with their grandma. All my grandparents were passed away when I was, you know, old enough to know them. So I have no relationship with any grandparents. So I think that is a beautiful thing for them to be able to really have time with grandma. I mean, she was a badass. So I think it's a great, you know, role model for them to have throughout the process and everything. And it's also awesome too, because if they ever ask her, like, how come mom's not here? How come dad's not here? Like I said, she's a badass. And so she has a badass answer for it. You know what I mean? Your parents got to work. Your parents are, you know, doing everything they can to make the best life possible for you, give you guys as many opportunities as possible. And when you get older, you can do the same thing, and you can send your kids with your mom while you go and work too. You know, she'll say things like that. But I think that's kind of neat. But I mean, it's challenging, but everything's challenging. I mean, but we can get through it. I think it's awesome to, like, be here with Boo and Jennifer. I mean, knowing that we're all going through the same thing, even though it's individual. There's a lot of other coaches that, you know, I get to pick their brain when we're out recruiting and ask them what they do, ask advice on things like that. And I think it's really important that we stick together. I mean, I know I reached out to Jennifer after she, you know, got the NC State job, because I was like, you guys are spouses, we're spouses. I think we need to hook up, because this is a thing that is not a lot of people do. A lot of people will say, how do you coach with your husband? And in my mind, I'm like, how do you not coach with your husband? Like, he's my support system. Like, he supports me in everything I do. He wants me to accomplish everything. He wants to be a part of me accomplishing all my dreams. And he's going to help me do it. So it's my safety net with everything. So I know I can do both. And a lot of it is because of his support.
Well, thank you all very much. I'm going to go just 60 seconds real quick. If there's something that we missed, I know we could keep going on this. I have like four more questions I've written down in the last minute, but if there's something we missed, if there's something you want to touch on, a piece of advice you want to give, anything else you want to talk about. I know you alluded to maternity leave, Boo, and that's something that we could talk about a lot too. And then, you know, one thing I think I encourage other parents to think about is that second shift parenting, you know, making the doctor's appointments, you know, getting the birthday cake, planning the birthday party. Those are the things that, you know, can really bring you down when it comes to filling your own bucket. We talked about that a little bit too, but just really think about those from a parenting perspective. But real quick, just 1 minute each, what would you want to share that maybe you haven't shared already or really reiterate? Boo, you want to go first?
Find your tribe. Find the people that want you to be successful, that are going to support you. And like I said, make them your family. Appreciate your spouse, your partner, whoever is that the person supporting your dreams, because, you know, you're the head coach and you're the one that's on TV and whatever else, but there really is a support system behind the head coach that has children. And I truly believe that the team behind the team is our family, and our family sacrifices so much for us to be able to do this job. And we sacrifice a lot as parents too. So I think give yourself a little bit of grace. You're doing better than you think you are. Be as present as you can where your feet are. Keep swimming. Find those other moms that you can connect with. And can't reiterate enough just the importance of appreciation and attitude of gratitude to the people that do help you. And again, just having as much patience and grace and humility and love for yourself as you do for your team and your family is a big part of it.
Thank you very much. Jennifer, how about you? Parting words of wisdom?
Well, I think when you're talking about work, hire amazing assistants. The two assistants I have now, obviously one's my husband, he's kind of okay. But my other assistant and our director of operations and even our GA, my heart literally wouldn't beat at work if it wasn't for them. You know, I can go to an emergency or be there for something with my kids and know that nothing is going to skip a beat at work. So I think that's the right assistance, and amazing assistance is important at work. But one of the things the last couple of years that I had to kind of get over and switch my mindset to thinking was, I used to always dream and think about the perfect life, and I need to have this, 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 and this, and I want this, this, and this, and this. And I was like, I know this isn't right. I know this isn't a thing. So like, what do I need to reframe my thinking to? And so I kind of changed my look on life. Instead of perfect, optimal. Like, what is the most optimal life that I can have where I can be there for everyone that needs me, my team, my kids? Like, how do I make my life the most optimal? And it sounds like a cliche, but let me tell you, when I reframed that to know I'm not going to be perfect, because that's not a thing, but how can I optimize every piece of my life to try and give my best and be where my feet are? That changed things for me.
Thank you very much. I like that. Sammy, how about you?
You know, I keep saying this is hard, but I don't mean that in a negative way. Like, I think playing athletics our whole lives has prepared us for this. Athletics is hard, but that's not a bad thing. That's not a knock. I think people shy away from failure and things like that, but failure is where growth happens. And sometimes as moms and coaches, we fail, but it's just an opportunity to learn and to grow. So I keep saying things like, oh, I'm not the best at this, but I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm not, but I can grow. Like, I know I can, and I know I'm continuing to try to evolve in every facet of life. So I think that's also a good role model and a good example for our daughters or sons, and also for our student athletes. So it's more like being humble about it. Like, I can still get better at this every single day. If I'm done learning and growing, then I should be done, period. So I just see everything as experience and learning and growing right now.
Well, I think that's fantastic. And I was giving you a hard time earlier, but it's true. And especially with, you know, so many kids dealing with that perfectionism piece, you know, being able to see when you make a mistake and saying you make a mistake, if it's a parent or a coach or a spouse, or and own it and move past it. I think that's so important. And just want to thank you three for being fantastic role models, for being willing to share your experiences and grow. And for any of you that are out there listening, and this is something you want to talk more about, or you don't have a support system, or you are trying to figure out some things, I'll speak for these three ladies, but I know they will take your email. I know they will take your questions. So please feel free to reach out to them. I'm sure you can find email on websites and whatnot, but just truly, ladies, thank you so much for your time and sharing today.
Thanks for filling my cup. This was awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joanna.
You're welcome, ladies. And we'll be back next week, another brand new episode. We're going to talk about more of the parenting work-life balance, but in a little different perspective. So come back for more next week. And until then, this has been Joanna Lane, Senior Director of Education for the NFCA and The Dirt, NFCA podcast presented by Netting Professionals.
Thanks again for listening to The Dirt, NFCA podcast presented by Netting Professionals. We encourage you to let us know what topics you would like covered in future episodes. Join us again next week for another exciting podcast.